This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Congratulations on getting through your 9 to 5. It's The Drive, 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and all of the world being heard on the Odyssey app. That's Rob Breton on the buttons, Jay Binkley on the mic. I'm the sports machine, Sean Levine, for another hour. Then we turn it over to Dusty Likens. The text line blowing up about the outhouse, as it should be. I mean, it's a pretty good place, to be honest with you. Somebody says Ice-T's most memorable show was at the outhouse. YouTube the video of him talking about it, so I did over the break. I can confirm that Ice-T played the outhouse. How about that?
A concert venue. I had a text from my friend Andy, said that Sting and the Police once played out there too.
Yeah, apparently so. Nirvana did play there. Yeah. Beck played there. I mean, I'm talking about before it was, you know, you could see some other stuff on the front and the back stages, Jay, with a pole involved and maybe a couple of dollar bills, y'all. You could go see Kurt Cobain? Are you kidding me? That's just random as hell. Not random, because we do it every day at this time, Rob. Take it away with the hits.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Go!
Well, yesterday, the Royals beat Cleveland, and they are now off to a 3-1 start, their hottest start in a four-game stretch since 2016. The highlight of yesterday's game was starting pitcher Danny Duffy, who was sensational as he shut down the Tribe. My question to you is this, Sean. I know it's just a one-game sample size, but can we glean anything from that Danny Duffy start?
Are we done talking about the outhouse, Rob? The first strip club I went to was the outhouse. The second one was Las Vegas. You want to talk about a culture shock? Like, I thought that's what they're all supposed to be like. To answer your question about Danny Duffy.
Mine was the Shady Lady.
The Shady Lady. I don't want to get too excited about one performance from Danny Duffy, even though, Rob, by far, it's been the best performance from any Royals starter this year. One, it's one start. Two, we're four games into the whole season. And three, this is year 11 for Danny Duffy in a Royals uniform. So, I'm not going to call you stupid or ignorant, but if you buy into one good game from Danny Duffy and don't think that the other shoe's going to fall, then you haven't watched enough Danny Duffy, or sure as hell haven't watched enough Royals baseball. If you look back at his baseball card, he's really had one, maybe two, what you would consider good years by baseball standards, and everything else was a lot of hope, a lot of optimism, a lot of what we saw yesterday followed up by a 1 1/3 inning, 9 earned run performance. So I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I think that Danny Duffy was spectacular. I think if they can get that, it's kind of like finding free money, because they probably didn't expect that a lot from Danny Duffy this year. But to say that yesterday he threw 6 innings, 5 strikeouts, 2 earned runs, and was nailing the corners, that that's the guy that he's going to be this year, I'm not going to do that yet.
Yeah, it's tough to do it yet with just one performance. It was nice to see his veteran leadership.
Was great.
2 years ago, the Royals went, 38 straight starts with pitchers younger than Danny Duffy was. And as you said, 11 years with the Royals, 14 years in the organization. He has become the stopper. Maybe it's them, you know, getting to that level where he's at. But he looks at these young pitchers, and it's Danny Duffy that stopped the bleeding. But it was against the Cleveland Indians, and they're not a good offense. Probably the worst offense, not probably the worst offense in the American League Central. But I'm from the Show Me State. You back it up.
Because they don't have Santana anymore. Maria.
But just back it up. He will. Danny Duffy's the perfect. He loves his team, loves his town. And you know what? He always brings that energy. He had that energy in spring training. He went out and did what veteran pitchers do, and he stopped the the slide of starting pitching, so to speak.
Did you catch the standing ovation that Cleveland gave Santana? I mean, goodness. Like,
they liked him.
Yeah, they liked him. They should like him. I like him so far in Kansas City. It feels like the team is following his lead when it comes to taking pitches. I mean, they're averaging 4.5 walks per game. When's the last time the Royals did that? The answer is never.
Carlos Santana rubbing off on everybody. Two.
Well, speaking of that improved Royals offense, they are currently slashing .307, .390 with an OPS of .912. And as Sean mentioned, they average 4.5 walks per game. Be still my beating heart. Although it was only 4 games, though, Bink, do you think the offense the Royals are putting out is sustainable in 2021?
You know, I do. I had this argument, and I think it was with Nick that night, and I said this is a top 15 offense in Major League Baseball. Like, I had that much confidence in this lineup being able to produce runs. And you're still not seeing some of the best players that are supposed to be in this lineup. Alberto Mondesi. You know, you take out Lopez, you put Mondi in there. I do think we're going to see Bobby Witt Jr. at some point. But I'm buying the offense, that energy they had in spring training. And I know it's spring training, but it's better to be good than bad. That's what J.J. Piccolo, you know, talked about. Hey, winning is one thing, but it shows your depth as well when you win. I love this offense. I think this team's not going to, you know, lead Major League Baseball in home runs. Probably finish in the top half somewhere. But this team can hit the baseball from top to bottom. I'm buying the offense.
I'm buying the offense, too. Heading into the season, Rob, if you remember, my only knock on the offense, people are going to say, oh, your sports machine talking out of both sides of his mouth. He wants on the bandwagon. No, this is what I said. You can check the tape. You can't have a 7-8-9 of Mondesi hitting 200, Lopez hitting 200, and Michael Taylor hitting 198. Well, Mondesi's hitting zero, but he hasn't played.
Unless you get September Mondi, which was good.
Lopez has actually been one of the biggest and most positive surprise on the team so far. And Michael A. Taylor's not only hitting for average, but hitting for power early on. So I don't think those guys are going to be able to keep it up. But if they can, yeah, you need to up your expectations. I mean, if you say they're going to be top 15, that's essentially only saying that they're in the top half of the league when it comes to offense. I think they can be in the top 10, top quarter of teams in offense. Again, we know what a lot of these guys can do. Like, if Whit Merrifield goes out there, hits 300, the power numbers, though. Goodness, Whit Merrifield, all of a sudden. I mean, that guy's on pace right now to hit 88 home runs.
Over,
I think it's going to happen, damn
over
it.
Over-under was 15.
Oh, he's going over.
I mean, yeah, come
might
on.
Be over at the end of the week. Whit Merrifield?
You that was there.
Whit Merrifield should be in the home run derby this year. I said it. I didn't mean it, but
that
I said
would
it.
Be fun.
Three. One other thing we saw yesterday, last night specifically, was the college basketball national title game, and the Big 12 owned Baylor Bears went out and dominated the previously undefeated Gonzaga Bulldogs. But Sean, with their recent success in football and now their national title in basketball, is it fair to say that Baylor has a top 5 sports program across the college sports landscape?
Baylor gave them all the smoke last night, Rob. I haven't seen that much smoke since I was at the Up and Smoke Tour back in 2001. Did you know I was there?
I've heard you say it.
Have I told that story on the radio?
You have told that
story.
Yeah,
I was there. I was in Chicago. Dr. Dre was there, an exhibit, and Warren G. It was.
But wasn't it named the wrong year, though?
Yeah, well, technically, yes. Okay, 2000, 2001.
Because you mentioned that, too.
Yeah, we don't need to get into that whole thing. But I think it was less Gonzaga and more Baylor. I mean, Baylor last night was just unbelievable, knocking down all kinds of shots. Did the most assist on shots of any team in the first half. They already put up a 50 spot. It was one of those things where Gonzaga appeared to be kind of shell-shocked. It was like they'd only been down entering the tournament for 9 minutes combined the entire season. In the tournament, they had only been down for a combined 4 minutes. That was in the game versus Oklahoma. So they just weren't used to it. And it looked like they got blitzed out the gates. All of a sudden, bang, they got down 5, 10, 15, 20. And then it was just over with. But I don't want to take anything away from Gonzaga. They had a great year. They're a really good team. Almost going undefeated is almost impossible. But also, you have to look back at their last two games and say they should have lost to UCLA. Then they got their asses kicked in the national championship. It's going to be weird looking back at Gonzaga and trying to judge them.
Yeah, and they had to carry that pressure, that label, be the number one team all year. Could have played Baylor, canceled with COVID earlier in the
year. December 5th, my
birthday. Or lost to them twice. Wouldn't that be funny if that was the only two losses they had all season was both from Baylor? It's unbelievable. Baylor was just better when that game all started. I really thought that Gonzaga was going to give a different effort. When you get that buzzer beater, you get that adrenaline, right? It's like kicking that field goal, scoring the touchdown before you go to halftime. You get that buzz. We didn't see it. I was doing the show last night, and Grant was producing. And Baylor jumped out to a nice early lead. And I said, okay, it's early. We're like 4 minutes in the game. It's early. But that just never changed. Like, Gonzaga made their runs, but Baylor just kept stiff-arming every run that Gonzaga would do.
You did a sports radio show last night during the national championship game?
I did.
How many people do you think were listening?
My mother. Grant's parents both listened.
Okay, so your mom, his parents, that's three.
Yeah.
The boss usually tunes in. That's
somebody
four.
From a 785.
Somebody texted. That's five. Do you think there were 10 people? Like, honestly, do you think there were 10?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think it was probably like nine. I'm not going to make you feel bad. It was a great show.
Bro,
I
tuned in for a minute. Huge in Kentucky.
You are big in Kentucky, which is weird because nobody in Kansas likes you, but Kentucky.
What they do. They text in.
Four.
Well, on the other side of the coin of Baylor's dominant effort is the Zags take the loss for the first time this season. Now, we have not been on the air since the Saturday buzzer beater by Jalen Suggs, but it seems to have disappeared into the ether. Bink, do you think we will look back historically and talk poetically about that shot, or will it just disappear forever?
No, I think we talk Suggs. We'll talk about his cousin Terrell Suggs more than Jalen Suggs because it's going to disappear. That shot is the only thing I heard about. This whole weekend, everybody, see the shot? See the shot? Whoa! Sports radio, national sports radio, the shot. Well, you got to back it up, son. You got to back it up in the next game, or no one's going to remember the shot. Yeah, it'll be always an asterisk. Yeah, but you got a couple fouls early in the title game, didn't deliver. Yeah, that shot's going to be... It was an incredible shot, but I don't know how much we're going to remember it if they didn't win it all.
Oh, I disagree with that. You don't have to win it all to remember a shot in the NCAA tournament. I mean, people remember Bryce.
It helps.
It certainly helps. People remember Bryce Drew's shot, and that was to win, I think, a first-round tournament game. Nobody remembers the name of the guy for Villanova
who hit
the
game-winning
shot just a few years ago. So, I mean, yeah, I think that it's not going to be remembered the same way if they would have cashed in, gone undefeated, won the national championship. Then it would be probably the first shot that they show every single year, along with the Chalmers shot, the Christian Laettner shot. Now they'll show it after those, but I don't want to diminish it.
It was one shining moment.
Too much. It was one shining moment. There have been a lot of shining moments so far for the Kansas City Royals. And you know what? As long as I can get my executive producer's executive blessing on this one, we can take some phone calls if you want to. 913-576-7610. See, that's not here. What the hell? How high are you guys on the Royals right now? Give me a call. 913-576-7610. And through four games, have your expectations adjusted? Because in the offseason, I was able to look at it through a prism of reality. I don't want to come on here like my guy Hope Harrison and blow smoke. I don't want to come on here and say that the Royals have this deep rotation. They're going to hit for power. They got this bullpen. They're going to win 80-something games and make the playoffs. Because that's frankly not what I believed. And then I watched just one game. And in baseball, that means you got 161 more of those things. So you can't put too much into it. But then I was begging my guy. I'm like, dude, you got to let me on that bandwagon. They got down five. They caught him by the end of the first inning. We know they're going to bring up a bunch of young pitching. They're doing all this without Mondesi. We know at some point they're going to bring up Witt. I don't want to be the guy that talks smack or is pessimistic in the offseason. And now they've gotten off this 3-1 start. I just want to know, Kansas City, what are your expectations now? Are there some people out there in the 785-816-913 that are saying this team is for real, or
don't
they're just for real off to a hot start?
Don't forget about Kentucky.
And Kentucky, of course. Binkley's fans out there in Kentucky.
I'm 100% buying this. Matter of fact, I think they're going to finish second in the division. I like it because I think this division is not as good as what people think. And when Royals are playing 19 times a season against the Indians, against the Tigers, if you can split against the Twins, hopefully split against the White Sox last year. The White Sox owned the Royals 9 out of 10 times. But I like the makeup of this team. I like the hitting. And I like the direction and the closeness this clubhouse has. They keep talking about that. And John Sherman, when he joined Fesco in the morning on opening day, had mentioned Mahomes. You know, he owns a small percentage of the
part
team.
Owner.
He said, but Mahomes likened the clubhouse of the Royals of that juju the Chiefs had going on. Not in those words, but similar. He seems the camaraderie and the going back and forth. This team, Hanser, Roberto, all those guys are up at the edge of the dugout.
If you want to make
this team to win, this team just has something about it. I like this team a lot.
If you want to make a Chiefs comparison or even a Royals comparison, I don't want to say that it reminds me of the Super Bowl team from last year and the year before. I don't want to say it reminds me of the World Series teams in 14 and 15 because, again, I'm trying to be based on reality here. I do not think this is a championship caliber ball club. Can they maybe be better than I thought? Can they maybe, win 80 games? Can they maybe surprise even me talking right now, win 82, 83, creep in the back door of the playoffs? I don't know. That's why I asked for your phone calls, because they're 3-1. They're off to a hot start, and I want to know what your expectations are now. Let's go out to Double J in Kansas City. What's up, Double J?
What's up, guys? How you all doing today?
Chill, hey, man.
Appreciate taking the phone call.
Yeah.
I'm very high on the Royals right now. I'm leading Royal Blue right now with the way they're playing so far. I mean, I know it's early, but I'll tell you what, in my expectation, I think they could get to the playoffs this year, whether they come in second or win the division or if it's a wild card. I think this team could be that good as the season goes on, and starting pitching is going to come around. Hopefully we'll get the win tomorrow. And, hey, I'm excited for Thursday, too. Brad Keller against the Red Sox. That's the team we need to beat. Them are the Twins, and I think it's good, man.
They certainly look like that right now. And thanks for the phone call, Double J. There's no question they look like that right now. There's
Morosi
also no question.
Came on your show and said they're going to make the wild card, didn't they?
Yeah. So Double J, yeah. John Paul Morosi, there's a couple of people, great baseball minds, that think they're going to make the playoffs. But as Rob points out, when as a team you're hitting 307, your on base is 390. And again, you guys don't know, I'm not smart enough to figure out what the hell OPS means, but I know if you're close to 1,000, that's a good thing. And they're at 912 as a team. They're
slug
averaging almost
base.
Two home runs per game. And most importantly, in a weird way, they're averaging 4.5 walks per game. If you're going to walk almost 5 times a game, you're going to hit almost 2 home runs a game, and you're going to get on base at that percentage, you're going to score a lot of runs. Because the starting pitch, let's just call it what it is, besides Danny Duffy last night, it's left a lot to be desired. I mean, the next time that Keller has his spot
but
in the rotation.
But it's guys you know are going to be better. You know Keller's better than that. You know Singer's better than that.
That's probably going to be as bad as Keller's going to be all year.
Yeah, 100%.
It happens to be the first time out, so it's a little bit of like, oh, man, that's our opening day start. He only lasted one of the third innings. Well, let's let him go 8 innings next time with 10 strikeouts, 2 runs, and see how we're talking about him. How have you guys adjusted your expectations for the Royals? Christian, you're on the drive.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up, man?
Hey, I think it's perfectly fine to be super excited about the Royals right now just because of the mix of, you know, the youth and the talent, but then the veterans and bringing some of the old Royals back, I think is a big sign that the front office believes in this team. You know, why bother to bring back those guys that teach up this, you know, young blood mentality of, like, what championship teams are like, if not to make a push with these guys that they're going to be that someday. But that makes me think this is maybe more like the 2013
exactly.
Royals, where it's like there's something here, but it's not there yet. Because I can see this team, you know, hitting the stretch where they win 15 of 20, but I can also see them hitting the stretch where they lose 15.
You said it better than I could, Christian. Thank you, man. I appreciate the phone call.
13, though, they were in it all the way to the final.
How did they win in
series?
13?
They went 86 and 76. But the
86.
But the bottom
this
line is.
This team went 86.
In 2013, that team went all the way to the final series against the White Sox before they were officially eliminated.
I don't think that even the wildest, most optimistic Royals fan thinks that they're going to win 86 necessarily. It does remind me, though, of – so the Royals went to the World Series in 14. Of course, they won the World Series in 15. Remember what the year before that was, what we were talking about, 2013, when they kind of started to make hay? And remember the year after, when they were right around 500, maybe a couple of games after. To me, that's what this team could be if everything breaks right. They could be essentially what the 2016 Royals were, where, yeah, maybe they weren't a threat to win the World Series. Maybe they didn't have the rotation at the time. But could they make the playoffs? Could they scare somebody?
Well,
yeah, that's kind of what this team's starting to remind me
of. Look at the Marlins
of.
Last year. No one thought anything of the Marlins last year. As a matter of fact, a lot of people thought they should just get rid of the Marlins because they had the whole COVID thing and they were gone. And the Marlins didn't make the playoffs and win 31 games. I know shortened season, but the Marlins came out of nowhere. And they started putting things together and they started to win.
Did they make the playoffs last year? I'm not trying to be funny.
No, the Marlins did make the playoffs last year.
Yeah, you could have offered me a free $1 million. I would have said no way in hell the Marlins made the playoffs last year.
They got rid of that statue, too, in center field.
I do think that this team.
Big news.
It's going to. Here's the thing about this team and the only reason why I don't feel comfortable comparing them to 2014, 2015 right now. In 2014, 2015, everything was in place. I mean, yeah, you had to go out and trade a couple of minor leaguers to add to the arsenal, to get a Ben Zobrist, to get a Johnny Cueto. But by and large, you made your moves in the offseason. You had already traded a couple of years before for Lorenzo Cain, Alcides Escobar. You had already brought up Haas and Moose. You'd already got Salvi through your system and your Donovan Ventura and Danny Duffy and a lot of those guys in the bullpen. It was a ready-made product. You can't argue that this Royals team is the Royal, like the current roster that we've watched go 3-1 so far is the same team that we believe Jay is going to get back to, hopefully, a couple of World Series in the near future. In my opinion, three guys that are for sure going to be on that team: Ace Lacy, Daniel Lynch, Bobby Witt Jr. So that's a good thing. If anything, they're ahead of pace right now. If anything, there's no reason not to be optimistic. And damn it, I'm pissed off that my guy Hope Harrison was the first one to say this team was going to win 77, 78 games. I'm going to outdo him right now because he's gone. They're going to win 80. How do you like that, Hope? Let's go back out to the phone lines. Wayne, they're 3-1. Have you adjusted your expectations?
What's going on, guys?
What's up,
Wayne? Appreciate letting me on.
Yeah, man.
Hey, so one thing I wanted to say just right off the bat was this team's finishing 500, but that's okay with me. I can still be an optimistic, hopeful Royals fan by saying that. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I don't think that they can't make the playoffs. I think that with the way that this season plays out, I kind of have that feeling in my gut of how I did in like July of 2013. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I'm looking towards the future. I think that we've got some talent and it's on the rise. And, I think as long as you clean up the bullpen this year and improve there, you get the bats where they need to be, and you can win your series against the Indians, majority of series against the Indians and the White Sox, man, we're going to be set up for success in the next couple of years. I think that, you know, right now we're driving the old 94 Accord, and it's, you know, it's good. It ain't flashy.
No.
But maybe in 2022 we can get the brand new keys to a Charger. Then you know what I'm saying? That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and your gas mileage is impeccable.
The gas, that's all I was going to say.
Yeah.
The gas mileage is great. Now, your speedometer is probably not going to work.
Now
and your handles are going to be broke.
You
have to, like,
at least you get 16 on
a fish wire. Yes, that's what I'm saying. So appreciate the phone call. I think he makes a lot of good points. The one thing that maybe is also a little bit ahead of pace is he talked about the bullpen's going to come around or needs to. They already have.
And they've pitched the second most innings in Major League Baseball.
Second most innings. 11 inherited runners, only gave up one earned run, and the bullpen's got an ERA of 1.86. I'm not trying to confuse anybody and say that this is the bullpen back in the day with Herrera, Davis, Holland, because it's not. But if you want to talk about things that we thought the Royals had a chance at being good at, and through just four games, very small sample size,
very small,
they've been even better. We're talking about hitting, and we're talking about the bullpen.
Well, the bottom line is, Sean, is the organization, people that know baseball better than anybody, and that's Dayton Moore, who I consider the best GM in all of sports, and said this in 13 before they'd won a damn thing, is they're doing things a little bit different. They're combining old with the new. And they went out and spent money on Minor. They went out and spent money on Santana, bringing them in. Then they bring back a Wade Davis and a Holland and Dyson. Like, they had this young, you know, influence of guys. Even guys like Kyle Isbell said, the guy that's most influential to him has been Jerod Dyson. Says he catches with him every day, tells him about the pros. That's why they brought Dyson back. So guys like Kyle say things like that, that Dyson makes the difference. I mean, they brought this blend of young and old. They know what they're doing. They know they got a special group of players, and they're bringing all these veteran voices. Sean, you know how you come to me for advice all the time.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, you give that older advice.
Yeah, my elders.
I give you great advice.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done with these players and bringing in older players. I give Rob great advice, too.
I wonder how weird it is to be Jerod Dyson or Wade Davis right now, because last time you were here, you were the toast of the town. Everything was royal blue. Everybody loved everything you did. Every beer you bought or you went to go get was free. And then the Royals sucked for the last few years.
It'd be like the Chiefs trying to get back 6 years from now.
But you weren't there. You were in a different place, probably not paying too much attention. You didn't care at that point. And now that you're back, again, it's very early, but the fact that they're 3-1, it's starting to feel a little bit like it used to. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Big T, you're on the drive. What's up, man?
Hey, you guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
great, great subject. So that one caller called, I think it was Chris. He had some good points. But let's just get one thing straight, Chris, and everybody out there listening, 6-10. This team is not losing 15 out of 20. Now, those third teams that you followed last year and before – get your mindset straight, Chris. No. Bink just hit the nail on the head. Look at Dayton Moore, the best general manager in baseball. He has a plan. Do not ever bet against Dayton Moore. That guy's a woolly general manager. Minor, Santana, Benintendi, Michael A. Taylor, all those guys, make the lineup deeper, make us stronger. And then with the veterans that we already have, you know, you talk about Whit Merrifield and Salvador Perez, and then the young cat, Isabel, you slide him in there, and you talk about those relievers. Dudes, I'm telling you, if you're not thinking playoffs, just jump off the train. But the train is running morning, noon, and night. I suggest everybody jump aboard, because come by the All-Star break, everybody's going to be pounding down the ticket booths or through your phones trying to get tickets. But guess what? You're not going to be able to get any, because everybody's already gobbled them up. Get on, get your mind clear. Jump aboard the crazy train.
What does the train sound like, though?
And the crazy train is rolling, and it's rolling hard.
What does it sound like, though?
We're going to take that victory from Cleveland on Wednesday. Are you afraid of Cleveland? Hell no. They can't score any runs. They could pitch, but we score more runs. And as always, let's go Royals.
There it is. If that didn't pump you up, he's keeping the train on the tracks. He's Big T. He gave you a choo-choo, choo-choo. And if you're not doing that also, choo-choo. I didn't mean you, Bank. I meant the rhetorical you.
I thought you were talking to me.
Because this train is coming right down the tracks. You can listen to every game right here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about Gonzaga getting their asses kicked. We'll review Bank's mock draft. We'll go back inside the mind of the machine. And then we'll dip out of here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays 2 to 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Man, you want to talk about a traffic incident? If you weren't with us off the top of the show, I talked about the unbeaten streak that came to an end. I was undefeated my whole life. I'll be 40 coming up in a couple of years. Been driving since I was 16. Never had a roadkill incident, ever. Not a squirrel, not a rabbit, nothing. Never ran over anything, at least that I was aware of. Maybe I did, but I never knew that I did. I came close a couple of times. The squirrels are crazy where I live. Very risky. Except I'm driving into work today. I'm on Shawnee Mission Parkway. Out of nowhere. Not a lot of cars around. Nice day. And I mean, out of nowhere, Jay, this bird comes down out of the sky. It hits my car. So I don't know if technically I would consider it roadkill. Now it's dead, and it's in the road.
What did it hit? Hit the windshield?
It hit the windshield. It cracked the windshield.
You must have clear windshield, like very clean windshield.
You think that's what was going on? You think the bird was trying to get in the car?
A lot of times birds will run into clean windows.
I don't think but that's like in a building. I don't think they're going up against a car that's going 45 miles an hour.
I don't know, Levine, maybe it's
the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. But then again, I'd never seen or heard of anybody hitting a bird with their windshield. I think what happened is the bird was not communicating with the, what do they call the people in the tower, the flight control deck, and he was supposed to be at a higher elevation. What the hell is this bird doing on Shawnee Mission Parkway flying at 4 feet high? You know what I'm saying? What are you doing, bird?
Well, their brains are very small, right?
Yeah.
They're very smart.
I think it was a crow that I hit.
Was it a crow?
I'm not sure exactly what it was, but it wasn't good.
Did it chip your windshield at all?
Yeah, cracked it.
Really? So you need a new one?
I don't know about that. I don't know if insurance takes care of that either. What do I call Geico and tell them, hey?
Well, you live in Missouri where we do have safety inspections.
Yeah. That's why
it's not like Kansas where you can literally do anything to your vehicle and drive it. Well, that's not say anything.
But that's why I may or may not keep my mom's Kansas address as my permanent address so I can avoid stuff like that.
You may want to do that.
I'm just throwing that out there. So wasn't a good morning for me. Wasn't a good night for Gonzaga. I think that most people figured that once they played UCLA and UCLA could have and should have won that game, I think a lot of people realized, oh, okay,
maybe Gonzaga's maybe not quite as unbeatable as people like, you know, the Sports Machine has told us they are the entire year. And going into it, said that he would take them over the field and they were going to win by double digits in every game during the tournament, which they did until they didn't. And then all of a sudden, if you just look at their last two games, I don't know if we can call Gonzaga a great basketball team, either in all-time standards or even just based on this year. And a lot of people are telling me that. They're like, dude, are you sure? You know, they played Pepperdine twice and they played St. Mary's twice and they played all these weird directional California schools. It's been a long time since they played the big boys. What happens when they do? And then the tournament started. They played a couple of, you know, Power Five teams. And I was saying, see, I told you so. But the way they looked the last two games, Binkley, not only did they not look great.
Well, the NBA roster.
Baylor was the better basketball team. I think if they replayed that game 10 times, certainly Gonzaga's going to win a couple of them. But based on that game I saw last night, Baylor's not going to keep shooting like that. They probably win 6 out of 10 times. Like, Baylor was the best basketball team in the country this year.
Wish we could have seen them play earlier this year, too. Get a real test. If Baylor would have been the only team to beat them twice, I would have loved to have seen.
How the hell did KU beat that team? That is head-scratching. I mean, how did KU beat that basketball team? And as far as Baylor goes, and text me if you think that I'm crazy here, if I'm a victim of, you know, circumstances that just happened. What sports program in the country, if we're just talking about men's basketball, women's basketball, and football, for the sake of this conversation, the sports that most quote-unquote sports fans pay attention to at the college level. I'm not talking about bowling or gymnastics or archery or skiing. I'm sure they got great teams everywhere. Somebody earlier was like, what up, Penn State wrestling? I don't know. I'm sure it's great. I'm talking about men's basketball, women's basketball, and football. Besides Ohio State, maybe you could throw up Florida. What program, what school over the last 5, 6, 7 years has been more successful than Baylor? I know it hits the ear wrong.
Well, North Carolina football team, I told you, is vastly improved. Nah, Kentucky's got a better football team than do basketball now.
Neither one of those is the answer. I mean, Baylor's literally put themselves in a position 3 out of the last 7 years with 1 game left on the football schedule. I did my research. Well, I Googled it. 3 out of the last 7 years with 1 game left in the season, Baylor's put themselves in position to play in that college football Final Four.
They were in the Sugar Bowl 2 years ago.
And then that 1 year, remember, were they undefeated or they had 1 loss? Them and TCU, and they both got kept out in the cold.
Lost.
So that happens a lot. Last year, yeah, KU was probably going to be the number 1 overall seed. You know who was 31-2 entering the tournament? Baylor. You know who's won 93 out of their last 100 games? Baylor. Like, we can talk about going forward, are they going to be Kentucky all of a sudden, or Kansas, or North Carolina, or Duke? No, I don't think that. But can they be Michigan State? Can they be UConn? Can they be one of those type of schools where they go out there and they win a national championship this year, they make it to the Final Four again next year, and then we start to have the conversation of Scott Drew, instead of being an overrated coach with a ridiculously stupid-looking comb-over, that he's actually wildly underrated? Earlier today, we did a toss-up, and it was split on the text line. I asked the question, what reclamation project was more impressive? What Bill Snyder did in Manhattan, taking over for a team that was like 5-50 in conference play their previous 55 games. And then he took over, and all of a sudden they start winning. Then they have double-digit win seasons. Then they're in the talk for national championships. If you think about what Scott Drew took over, and I'm not suggesting the K-State football was good. In fact, by the numbers, they were the worst Division I football program that existed before Bill Snyder took over. So they were terrible. That's not my point. But you know what they weren't doing, at least as far as I'm aware of? Killing each other. There was no talk, again, that I can remember, there probably was, of folding the program. Baylor basketball was gone. Baylor basketball was done. And even before this happened, before their players were killing each other, literally as serious of a thing as could possibly happen, they were an afterthought just to come to the Big 12, just to be a Power 5 school. They're all over the place. In the MAC, the SWAC, the BAC, they were in all these weird conferences. Then they end up in the Big 12. And the way they end up in the Big 12 is there was an agreement that it would be KU and MU and Iowa State and Colorado at the time, Nebraska and all these schools. And then Texas would bring over whatever it was, 4 or 5 schools of their own. And it was Texas Tech, A&M at the time, And then there was a conversation of who's that other school going to be? And it was either SMU or it was Baylor. But it wasn't going to be both of them because there was some sort of a holy war where they couldn't make that happen. They couldn't play each other a couple times a year. So essentially, kind of like when the Royals said, fine, we'll take Wade Davis. And it turned out to be a throw-in that ended up being the best closer in the history of the team. Baylor was a throw-in to the Big 12 conference. And now we wake up this morning and Baylor basketball. It just sounds weird. Baylor basketball won the national championship last night. If you want to talk about the job that Bill Self's done at KU or the job that Roy's done at Carolina, they've done an unbelievable job. But also think about what they took over. It's not like it was a bare cupboard, Binkley. Cupboard was not bare. It was completely full. It was packed. And I'm not talking about with hunger, man. I'm talking about with the good stuff. I mean, it was packed to the gills. Double stuffed Oreos, clearly Canadian. Everything I could possibly want.
Well, Kansas State was 0-26-1 when Bill Snyder took over.
0-26-1.
They had four winning seasons in the previous 44. They accumulated more losses than anybody. Thinking about canceling that program, I remember an article Sam Mellinger wrote about it. They had one hotel when Bill Snyder took over. Then they had six to the 90s. Now that has doubled.
They got 12 hotels in Hattown?
But the enrollment has even doubled as well. 30 new buildings are on campus since Bill Snyder took over in 1989. I just look at what a guy did to a university and what he did to a town. Yes, Drew's got the national championship ring, but who's done more for their program, the alumni supporting the team? Kansas State football is a big thing now. People go, they were out there watching practice last week, but what he's done to the town, the university, getting 50% more enrollment up since he took over in 1989, that's why I went Bill Snyder, for what he meant in the big picture.
The thing I love about going to a K-State game is when you get off on what you see, you take I-70 the whole way, and then it used to be called, I want to say, Highway 177. That lasts like 10 minutes right before you get into Hattown. There's a scenic viewing area to the left. I stop there every time. I don't know why it's not.
I do, too, actually.
You do? Yeah. It's kind of scenic. It's all right.
It's scenic.
It's fine.
Flint Hills.
Yeah, it's fine. The Flint Hills, yeah. But they renamed it to Bill Snyder Highway.
Yeah.
So if you're going to a K-State game, you take I-70 to Bill Snyder Highway, you get off in Manhattan, exit 313, and then you go to Bill Snyder Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to talk about a guy that's got his name all over everything.
Yeah.
Now, just to tell the whole story, Bob Huggins had a little bit to do with that infrastructure also. When he came to town and basketball became a big deal, and then Frank followed him, and I'm being dead serious, like all those buildings that you're talking about and hotels, if you look at the timing, I'm not saying Huggy or Frank had more to do with it than Bill Snyder. Of course Snyder had the most to do
Bill
with
Snyder
it.
Bill Snyder even designed the PowerCat. They didn't have that till Bill Snyder.
Is that a rumor or is that real?
No, he did. He designed the PowerCat.
That's real. So Bill Snyder's not only one of the greatest college football coaches
him
of all time.
Him and a professor at K-State that designed the PowerCat.
And he's been banking off the PowerCat logo the entire time. It's a pretty good logo. I'll give him that. I think when K-State goes silver helmets, purple jerseys, that's about as slick as it looks. That's about as good as it gets.
Bill Snyder, man.
Bill Snyder. Legend. So is Scott Drew, though. That comb over itself. No. Put that thing in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Let's step inside the mind of the machine. I mean, Deshaun Watson, Bink, just take it from there. What else are you going to say? Another day, another couple of allegations. You were talking about this with me off the radio. We'll see what ends up happening, criminal, civil, if you get suspended. Either way, he had a career and a life on a platter, and it's not going so great.
No, it's not. It's weird to see. Who knows how this thing's going to end, but I will say this. It has derailed teams, I believe, from trading for him at this point.
How can you trade for him right now?
Yeah, I mean, but this guy had it made, and who knows if he can get out from underneath this? Who knows? But, well, what an offseason for Deshaun.
It's Paul Rudd's birthday today, guys. Rob, how old is Paul Rudd?
I mean, he's been about 32 for 10 years, so I'll say 32.
I'm going to say he's 41.
He's actually been 32 for 20 years, Rob.
He's 52. He is great looking for a 52-year-old.
Isn't that crazy? That he's 52 years old. How is that possible?
It's not possible.
What's your favorite Paul Rudd role? 4-year-old virgin?
Yeah, he was really good in that. I liked him a lot in Role Models. Obviously, I like Ant-Man because I'm a comic nerd. I actually saw Our Idiot Brother the other day. He was good in that.
Never seen it.
Do you know what is I like that a lot of people don't? This is 40. I think he's really funny in This is 40.
Never saw that either. I saw him as Mike, Phoebe's boyfriend on Friends. I like that role.
Friends sucks.
Friends doesn't suck.
It's trash show.
It's not a trash show. It's overrated. And it's also unrealistic. I mean, the fact that they could afford that apartment while working at a coffee shop just doesn't make any sense to me. You know how much, like, in Midtown Manhattan? You know what the thing would cost? $3,500 a month. Rachel's pulling some tips. Tips, I said, people with a P. I said tips.
And the guy no one likes ends up with the hot girl? Come on now. That show's trash.
Pharrell's birthday. How old's Pharrell?
Think name any song by Pharrell.
How old's Pharrell? Happy.
Silence is golden.
Happy.
Pharrell's 52.
Why do you do that to me, Rob?
Pharrell looks better than Paul Rudd. How old is he?
Say 49.
Yeah, he's 49. That'd have been blink.
Boy. Rob, how's that taste?
All right, if you're so good, how old is... You're probably not going to know who this person is. Charlotte Flair.
Ric Flair's daughter, right?
Woo! Woo! To beat the man, you got to beat the man.
She's wrestling 45. Right now. No way she's 45. She's got to be like 33.
She's 35. That a boy, Rob. You more of a Ric Flair guy or a Macho Man guy, Bink?
I like Ric Flair.
What do you used to say again? How'd that go?
To be the man, you got to beat the man.
I meant the whole woo thing, but that's fine.
Woo!
Snap into a Slim Jim. Give me the Macho Man.
He also had a famous saying.
Do you want to tell us what that saying is, or you going to Google it? And
okay. Nick, what was his
fame? Thank you for that. It's also Candace Cameron's birthday.
I have no idea who that is.
DJ from Full House?
What's her real name?
Candace Cameron. That's literally what I just said. Thanks for listening to the radio show.
I mean, I don't do Full House, so I have no idea. The only one I know from that show is Jodie Sweetin because she had all the problems.
I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made. You're talking to the Rolex wearing, diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun, and I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Woo!
That's what he said.
No, that's pretty good. That's good smack talk. It's not as good as, like, Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen once said that he's got trombone-sized stones like John Holmes, and he'll punch you like John Jones. I mean, come on, bro. You know what I'm saying?
It is good.
He said at the time he was 220 pounds of twisted steel and sex appeal. Like, that guy is the most talented behind the microphone, not named Conor McGregor, but I digress. Luca Garza won the Wooden Award, Rob. Is he going to be good at the next level? Is he going to play at the next level?
I mean, he's going to be Brooke Lopez. That's a fine NBA
That's
career.
Fine, yeah.
Yeah, but like, he will not be nearly as dominant in the pros. He'll be Brooke Lopez. And if people draft him and project him accordingly, then he'll have a fine NBA career. But if he goes like six and someone thinks he can be a difference maker the way a Joel Embiid is, then he's going to go down as a disappointment. But he's Brooke Lopez.
He's got some nice eyebrows. They're very full, like Wally Zerbiak's. That was weird when I say that. Anthony Davis has an eyebrow. I wouldn't say plural. Unless he plucks. Do you pluck?
No.
You pluck, don't you?
Never trim my eyebrows.
Okay, that's good. Seems painful. Ridiculously painful.
I've had them threaded. I was dating this girl and she had hers threaded, so I did it too. That's not that bad.
I mean, if she got a Brazilian wax, did you go with her and do that too?
I mean, it wasn't like she was going to do that. We were just at the mall, and they were like, hey, we're threading eyebrows. And she was like, I'm going to do this, and I'm just not going to sit there and watch for 20 minutes.
No.
So I just did it too.
You go to Lids, and you go to Original Pizza.
I got it done. That's very pleasant.
I'd stop by Spencer Gifts as a 38-year-old man before I'd get my eyebrows threaded. What does that even mean?
And they just put like this thread in there, and they remove any excess hair to keep it tight.
I once bought the best gift.
To keep it tight.
Spencer Gifts.
You got what?
Once bought the best gift ever.
You want to tell us what it is, or is it inappropriate?
I mean, it's kind of inappropriate, but...
Okay. Did you have to show ID to buy it?
It was one of those things you hang up on a shower, and one thing is soap, and the other shampoo. It's...
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what you're talking about. I'm not sure if I want to know what you're talking
about.
I just got one of those guys that you squeeze the pump, and his pants come down. You know what I'm talking about? Those are pretty funny.
Yeah, this is...
The Royals going to finish 500 this year, Binkley.
Yes, I think so. I'm a big believer in the blue.
I done believe is what he said. Rob, they're going to finish 500 this year.
No. They're going to be better. They're going to be really good this year. They'll win like 76, 77, 78 games. But
non-believer.
500's a big mark.
81, man.
I don't think they're getting 81.
I'm starting to think they're right around there, man.
I mean, they've played four games. I know they're coming out hot, but let's get a nice sample size before we put them at 81.
Dude, the season's almost over. There's only 158 games left plus a playoff run. What are you talking about?
They haven't even played the White Sox yet, who absolutely thrashed them last season.
Are you
season.
Suggesting the Royals fans are getting too excited because they're 3-1 out the gates?
Yeah, this is a sample size sport. Let's let a sample size materialize.
White Sox had no answer for Ohtani until he hurt him.
Well, the Royals don't have Ohtani, so
he's back playing.
No, they got Witt.
Ohtani's better than Witt.
Well, they got Witt and Witt.
Ohtani's better than the other Witt too.
Two Witts are better than one Ohtani. That's what I'm trying to tell you, 100%. Rob. Okay.
The Royals don't have two Witts right now either.
Didn't your mom tell you that when you were growing up? Didn't you get in trouble and she was like, "Son, two Witts don't equal one Ohtani." She never told you that. You weren't raised properly. Well, Mark Few, Rob, ever win a national championship? He did not last night.
Yes, he will. He's too good of a coach to never win one. Eventually, great coaches break through because that's just what great coaches do. And it's all about bites of the apple. He's been in the Final Four now, what, three times? National title game twice? So you keep trending that way, you'll eventually break through.
Remember, people said Phil Mickelson would never win a major. Remember that?
And it took Roy a few times. He got to the Final Four national championship games, and eventually cut down the nets, what, three times, four times?
So. I mean, I think Callen Self will get another one, too, because you just take another bite out of the apple. You eventually break through. Ball bounces your way, you win.
It is kind of crazy, though, you bring up Callen Self and Izzo, that today Scott Drew has as many rings as he does. Like, we always quantify greatness with how many rings do you wear as a player, as a coach, whatever. And the fact that Scott Drew has as many as Bill Self, it's pretty damn impressive.
It's why Dan Marino never enters the conversation.
Laces out. Did Paul Pierce deserve to lose his job based on his indiscretions at ESPN?
He just went to a club, right? I mean, I didn't listen to it or anything.
Well,
but
I think it was his home.
Well, it was perfectly legal what he was doing, right?
So your answer is no. That's fine. If that's your answer, that's fine.
I say yes. I mean, what did he do wrong?
For the video, he should not have been fired. For being a terrible analyst, he should have been fired.
Hear, hear. It's almost like, you know, if you're really good at your job, people will look the other way, even if you've got a bunch of strippers and you're saying inappropriate things. In fact, they'll laugh it off. They'll be like, that Paul, Paulie being old double P, you know, old double T with double P with double D again, you know, like that's what the jokes would be. But then, like, he's not good, as Rob pointed out. Kind of corny, not very funny, overpaid. It's almost like they were looking for a reason to get him out of there. And I love Paul Pierce, the basketball player, the analyst.
This is why Derek Jeter, when he's had a policy.
Oh, don't bring up Derek Jeter. You're going to piss off Rob.
No, I just said we're put your cell phone at the door. Jeter's Island. You put your cell phone at the door when you walk in.
Drake has that same rule. When you show up at Drake's house, you got to leave your phone and all electronics in a little basket. And then
I've
you can go to the party.
Never been to Drake's house.
You been to Jeter's, though?
No.
But same thing applies. You can know the rule without having been there.
Well, I used to have that rule also. It applies to anybody that's with a lot of women. I mean, a lot of women. This is, of course, before I found love of my life, sweetie. She's probably listening right now getting pissed off. I'm talking about before.
When you say a lot of women, you're talking like
400?
I don't feel like you were at Drake or Jeter levels.
Oh, okay.
Gift baskets?
Were they ever known as the king of first dates in Kansas City? I don't remember that at all.
Lego love machine.
That's what I thought. By the way, Binkley, I appreciate you sitting in with me today.
Thanks, Levine.
Who's hosting your radio show tonight? Anybody?
Dustman. Dirty Werewolf.
Oh, the Dirty Werewolf? He's average. Rob, good job today on the buttons. Actually, I'm lying. You were average, too. I crushed it, though, didn't I? Huh? No comment?
I thought Rob and you both were very good.
Thank you. Listen to Dusty coming up next. Royals are off, but they're going to win again when they're on tomorrow. They're 3-1. They might never lose again. Sports Machine signing off on The Drive.